You are listening to a message from Thrive Community Church, a church located in Southwest Florida. For more info, visit us at thrive-fl.org.
Lord God, may the words of our heart, our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you this day. We thank, Lord, we thank you that you spoke, and you have spoken your truth and love in such a way that everything was created by the word from your mouth, Lord, your word. And we want to live aligned with your truth, the truth of the way that you set this world up, the truth of the way that you are arranging things, and the truth of our eternity where we are in fellowship with you and one another. And we pray, Lord God, that the words that we speak are such that we build others up, that we are able to be the people you want us to be, that we can be transparent and open and honest and forthright and everything that you want, Lord. We pray today, Lord, for this nation, that we'd be a people of truth and that we'd be a nation that looks to you. We remember this day, Lord, those who have fought for this nation, who have sacrificed and given their lives for it. We thank you, Lord, for the freedoms that we have because of their sacrifices. And we ask that you would teach us to honor those who give themselves in that way. And not just those who have fought in our wars, Lord God, but those who also are on the front line from law enforcement, but not only that, teachers these days, Lord. The front line who give of themselves and sacrifice of themselves in so many ways. We thank you for them, and we ask that you would, that we would be able to honor them, not only this weekend, but in the ways that we speak to them and encourage them in their callings as well. And we pray, Lord, that you just bless your church today throughout Southern Florida and across this whole area, that we would grow and be renewed. And that we too, Lord, would walk away from here knowing that you touched us with your presence today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I think we've used this passage. I don't know. I keep coming back to it. We're going to be looking at a couple of different places in the scriptures today. First of all, Ephesians 4, but then also in 1 John chapter 1. And that'll come up later, but we're going to read Ephesians 4, 25 to 32 right now. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hand, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. How many of you would say that in the last 48-ish hours that you've lied? Just kind of raise your hand to the side in one form or another. That in the last 48 hours or so that you've lied, keep it up. Now look at all those who have not raised their hands and recognize this reality, though. They're probably lying right now. Because the truth is, on average, I'm not going to accuse everyone here of this, but on average, people lie approximately 4 times a day, research has shown. Yes, 4 times a day. The average person lies about 4 times a day. That's actually a slide, okay? Be calm. You're a liar. Keep calm, you know? Now, this is interesting. Dan Ierley wrote the book, The Honest Truth About Dishonesty, How We Lie to Everyone, Especially Ourselves. He says this: there's one way to find out if a man is honest. Ask him. If he says yes, he's a crook. We can laugh about it, but it's true. I think we all struggle with this issue. And I think it was Oscar Wilde who said, I don't have this up on a quote, but Oscar Wilde said, hey, if you can't win. If you lie, people will distrust you. If you tell the truth, people will dislike you. Which one do you do, right? Okay. But I think Paul's words here, beyond this reality of we all struggle with this idea of lying, is just amazing to me. In Ephesians 4:25, and we're going to kind of wrap ourselves around this, therefore, having put away falsehood, kind of like, okay, that's an old garment I used to wear. It doesn't fit anymore. It's not who I am anymore. Throw it away. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. And kind of like I prayed, this is the reality. When we are in relationship with others, God wants us to show and display and be people of honesty and truth and transparency, even vulnerability, the fact of openness, because that's how we have, and why? Because that is who our God is. This is his characteristics. We were created in the image of God to be people who are truthful, honest, open, faithful, that our words matter. Words do actually matter. So today we're going to cover what I call the three C's of lying, okay? And the three C's from this passage and elsewhere. It's going to be the cover-up, the consequences, and the cure. Okay? First of all, the cover-up. Okay? The cover-up. Tell me, what is a lie anyways? Really, when you get down to it, what does it mean to lie? Do you realize good lies, and I'm not saying, hey, by the way, we saw the movie The Good Lie on Netflix a few weeks ago. That's what it's called, is it Reese Witherspoon? And then a number of Sudanese refugees in it. Oh, killer at the end, because I shouldn't tell you. Oh, it's worth it to just understand the civil war that happened there, the Sudanese refugees, boys mainly, who escaped, came to the United States, what all happened and how. In the end, that's not the type of lie we're talking about, a good lie. There are times to lie, to protect yourself in a sense, or to save someone else, etc. There have been times. But we're talking about do you realize most lies, though, have truth in them? You know, it's not just a bold-faced 2 + 2 = 5. Now, some people might believe that if you say it long enough and loud enough, that just a bold face, it doesn't make any sense, it's just a falsehood. But I think this is a better definition. Sisala Bach, who wrote a major philosophical book on the subject, said this, okay? Lying is an intentionally deceptive message in the form of a statement, okay? In other words, really, I think that's why I call it the cover-up. Because that's what lies are. They're covering up truth. They're being deceptive. They're hiding something. They're doing some kind of switcheroo-ish thing that we cover up, we protect ourselves, we justify, we rationalize, we don't quite show our true self in one form or another when we lie. And since Adam and Eve back in the garden, we have been covering up. And it hasn't worked any better than it did back then, okay? From fig leaves to fake news, we try to cover up our shame, our guilt, our true self to protect, to deceive, to get what we want, to look good, okay? But Adam and Eve weren't the first ones to lie. Do you realize that? No, it was the serpent. That's where it all started. So Genesis chapter 3, this is how it says it. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say? Notice as well, I've said this before, do you realize who's the first person in the Bible to talk about God? Not to God, but about him. And it is the serpent. You got to watch out about those theologians that talk about God. Okay? It's so easy when you're kind of talking about someone, you're actually, do you know how like, Dan, I'm going to talk to you about Brooke, right? Brooke's there, right? That's Brooke. But, you know, and we're, all of a sudden I've triangulated, and that's basically what the serpent is doing here. He's triangulating away from, oh, do you know, what do you think about? And all of a sudden, Well, okay. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" The cover-up. The cover-up, the cover-up, the cover-up. There's some truth to that, that their eyes would be open, but not in the way that the serpent, he was covering over what was really going on. You're going to be able to, you're going to step back and all of a sudden you're going to know. Do you realize they knew what was good? Whatever God said. What was bad? Whatever God didn't say. So they didn't need to know morally what's good and bad. The word here in the Hebrew is really what's to my advantage and what's to your disadvantage. What's good for me? Have you ever heard people talk about, hey, that's just not good for me? Yeah, it's not to my advantage. It's not about morals. It's really about what's good for me. You know what I mean? Or what's bad for me. And that's kind of what he was changing the subject. He was twisting. He was lying. He was covering up. And weren't they already like God? They were created in God's image. So you're going to be like God is kind of like the big lie. You already are. You're just going to take God's place is what he was really trying to push. And then when they themselves ate of the fruit, that forbidden fruit, all of a sudden they start speaking the language of the serpent. Oh no, it wasn't me. It was a woman you gave me. You're really the one to blame. Isn't that interesting? Cover up, cover up, cover up. So, an old Southern preacher, I've been in the South, I think, 23 years. Now, Louisiana, when I was in the Baton Rouge, it was actually below the South in one sense, because the Cajun accent is not a Southern accent. And in Alabama was truly the South. Believe it or not, Lisa grew up in Alabama, but she doesn't have the Southern accent. Yeah, you know, but her dad did. Big time. Anyways, an old Southern preacher said, and so I'm going to try my best Southern accent because let me tell you, it is powerful when you've got a Southern accent to say this, okay? And he said, "You may never be more like the devil than when you're telling lies." Don't you love that? When you're telling lies, you're more like the devil. If I just say, when you're telling lies, you're more like, you know what I mean? It just works with that Southern accent. But he's right. I think that preacher was right. And Jesus would say much the same thing. This was fascinating. Jesus in John chapter 8 is with these Jewish religious leaders. And he's speaking to them and he realizes they are about cover-up. And cover up and cover up. They're trying to look good. They're trying to justify themselves. They were trying to say they were law keepers and they were actually doing God's will. And Jesus exposes them and shows them the truth. And this is what he says in John chapter 8. He gets very blunt, but he says, "You are the father, you are of your father, the devil. And your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Do you realize that's what's going on? Jesus is saying that's all he does. The most powerful thing the devil does is to lie, to deceive, to cover up, to hide behind, use a little truth, and twist it around, cover it over. So, when Proverbs chapter 12 says this, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight," he's just saying that, oh, by the way, that word abomination there. I mean, it's a strong word, right? But it's actually, this is what's fascinating. It's the word tohu bah in Hebrew, and it basically means something that makes you nauseated. So when I lie, I am actually making God, my Father, nauseous. And why is that? Why does he hate lying so much? Because then I am speaking the parcel tongue of the devil himself. And I am cutting myself off. I'm covering over. I'm hiding. I'm walking away. I'm staying away. Ugh. I don't think through that when I'm just trying to get out. You know, most of the time, my type of lion is to escape the consequences. But in the end, I still face the consequences. I still face the consequences. One of the consequences is you got to keep a lie up. Do you know that? Yeah, Quintilian, way back 2,000 years ago, this Roman rhetorician said, a liar should have a good memory. And Mark Twain would say, and a lot of people have said, I think Mark Twain said, hey, if you don't lie, you don't have to remember anything. But man, when you lie, you better remember. And then it's like, I've got to lie upon a lie in order to make sure I've got to remember what I said so that I say the next thing. And then I keep covering up and covering up and covering over and excusing and coming up with. And it's one thing after another. And so often what happens is after a while, I have covered up and covered up and covered up. I start believing those lies that I've been telling. And all of a sudden, that's the way it really is. And then I don't even know who I am. And then I'm not really that bad. Everybody does it. And, you know, you can. I mean, you don't have to look. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. Our society is filled with it. It is filled with it. And you know it. I don't have to go into that. That's the way we are. But I'm not deceiving anyone but myself. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. You see that? I don't deceive God. And I'm not even sure I deceive you when I lie. You know, you can kind of see through a lot of them. I deceive myself. So, the cover-up. And then the consequences. And here are the consequences. So Paul said again, we're coming back to Ephesians 4, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. I think I made a mistake there. That's Ephesians 4, 25. Members of one another. Here's the reality. You're not alone. You don't live alone. You are not just yourself. You are the wealth, the quality of your life is the quality of your relationships. Period. Okay? It's the quality of your friendships. It's not how much money you have in the bank. It's not where you live specifically. It is the quality of your relationships. It's how things work in your family, how things work with your neighbors, how things work with your coworkers. You have quality relationships, truthful, loving relationships there. It's a great life. If you don't, right? And here's the consequence. When you lie, you're actually breaking down that community. You're breaking down how can we have a relationship? How can you have a friend if you're not transparent or honest with them? When you're always putting up a facade, when you're always kind of hiding behind, when you're always covering up what's really going on in your life, you cannot be known. And when you cannot be known, you cannot be loved. And that is the consequence of my lies. Richard Gunderman, he's a professor of radiology, pediatrics, all these things at Indiana University. He wrote a book called X-ray Vision, and he wrote an article in The Atlantic calling, Is Lying Bad for Us? And this is what he said. But even if the lying is never detected, the piling up of lies tends to make relationships with colleagues, friends, and family members shallower and less meaningful. And it could be that living with the guilt of lying is toxic in itself, especially in extreme cases where we are living a lie. Could we lower our blood pressure, narrow our waistline, reduce our dependence on antidepressants, and perhaps even prolong our lives merely by exaggerating less about our accomplishments and making up fewer excuses when we are late or fail to complete tasks? Suppose the answer is yes. Do you realize when I lie, I don't allow you to actually know me, and I don't allow you to love me, and I can't have much of a relationship with you? But it goes one step further. In 1 John 1, verse 6, it says, if we say we have fellowship with him, God, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. The fact is, when I lie upon lie upon lie, when I cover up upon cover up upon cover up, what kind of a relationship can I have with God? Because I'm always hiding behind every other layer and defending against getting close to him. You just can't. You cut yourself off from the God who actually loves you, who wants to speak truth to you, who wants to be with you. And do you realize that cutoff, that cover up, that continually coming up with another excuse and another reason and another, etc. And if you cut yourself off from God and from others, do you know what that is? That's the definition of hell. You know, people, oh, hell, it's that fire. Hey, fire and brimstone, that's metaphorical in the Bible. There are metaphors in the Bible. I'm not sure. And it's so much, that's not what I would expect hell to be like. It's so much worse because it's actually about the psychic, spiritual, emotional, physical cutoff from the God who loves you, the God who created you, and from everyone else. That's what hell really is. It's a disintegration of who I am because I just will not let anyone, no, thank you, God, no, 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 and I keep covering up. And if you don't feel kind of an ugh right now, I do, because I don't think through that real deal consequence when I lie, that I'm actually cutting you off and hiding and covering up and trying to get away from, and what that actually means for our relationship and what that means for my relationship with God. The cover-up, the consequences, but the cure. You know, even while we were covering up, justifying ourselves, living a lie, Jesus Christ comes for us. This is how it says it in 1 John chapter 1. This is the message. We have heard from him and proclaimed to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth isn't in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So what's the cure for lying? It's Jesus who is the truth. That God is light, there is no darkness in him. He is transparent, he is truthful, he is honest, and he is forthright. Okay? Let's make this as simple as it can be. Okay? Who's the devil? He is the father of lies. What is his native language? It is lying. That's his greatest tool. It's the one he covers up. He deceives. He tries to get away. He coaxes. He does. And because of that, that's why Jesus calls him a murderer, because he's killing the relationship you have with your heavenly father who loves you. Okay? What is the cure for lying? It's the person, the personal truth, who is Jesus. not a set of principles, not a 12-step method of how to get out of lying, but a person who lived the truth, who was the truth, who is the truth and the way and the life, and who gave himself as the truth in this world in such a way that he was absolutely honest and open and vulnerable. Yes, vulnerable. And Oscar Wilde might be right. If you tell the truth, nobody will like you. And Jesus faced that. The fact that he spoke the truth and he was rejected for it. And yet he would not stop speaking the truth because the truth is he loves you and he loves us. Jesus would say in John chapter 8, you want to be my disciple, you follow me, hear my word, you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. He is that truth who sets you free. So what's the cure? It gets a little more than that. It's John, 1 John chapter 1 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God's plan is simple. Stop covering up. Let go. Stop trying to justify yourself. Stop trying to cover over. Let him see who you are. It's not that he doesn't see who you are. Let yourself see who you are before your God. Confess your sins to him. You know? Maybe at this point in time, if I said, so who's been lying here? All our hands would go up at this point. Confess your sins to God, and he is faithful and just and will forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. What does he do when we confess our sins? He removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. He speaks truth to us, and the truth is you are forgiven, you are loved, you are wanted. I've never stopped loving you. And all those cover-ups and all those little schemes and all that stuff, all that running away, the truth is, I still love you. In fact, you can't do anything ever to stop me from loving you. Okay? And there's nothing that you've done that could ever stop God from loving you. And he loves you in such a way, it's not a snap of the fingers that he just makes a decision, kind of like Thanos, you know? Anybody see Infinity War? He snaps his fingers and boom, something happens. No. That is not the way God has loved you. Even though he has the power to do that, boom, and just get whatever he wants, that is not the way God did it. Instead, we read this in 1 John 1:7. We read, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and it is the blood of Jesus, his son, cleansing us from all sin. He exposes the truth and the reality of this world upon a cross. He speaks the truth in love at that cross in such a way that we see what our sin does. It kills the Son of God. And yet we see what our God does. He opens his arms wide to receive us. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Isn't that great? So the cure is that God forgives us. And the cure is that we get fellowship with one another and the healing happens in these relationships. That's why we talk about home huddles, and you're probably sick of me talking about home huddles. And maybe we need a couple more home huddles in order to make sure that you have an opportunity to get in one. But I'll tell you, this is where you can be honest and transparent and open and let yourself be who you are so you can truly be loved as you, as God intends you to be. And yes, you can be vulnerable. And I know every man in this room, that word right there is one of the most frightening words in the human language, because it's the last thing we want to do is, oh, wait a minute, no, well, you know, and we have to act like, you know, yeah, I got my act together, what about you, you know? But the truth is, all of us are broken people, and all of us need to let our guard down and stop covering up and have relationships, whether it's mentors or family members or a friend in some way, a Christian friend, or a fellowship that's much smaller than this number on Sunday morning, where I can truly be myself with all my warts, all my problems, all my brokenness, and be forgiven and loved. That's what I need. And that's why we talk about home huddles. Okay? So, the devil's a liar. He tries to cover up, to cut off, and to get you to believe the lies. And when I'm speaking a lie, I'm just in league with him. But when I cover up, I cut myself off from others and even from God. But when he comes in, he exposes the truth and the reality of it all. The healing comes in the relationships I can have here where we're honest with each other about where we're at. Because Jesus is that truth that sets us free. Let's pray, shall we? Father, today, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we ask that you would just unleash the truth in our souls, that we'd have the courage, God, to truly let ourselves be who we are, to admit where we've been covering up, and to be honest and transparent with you and others, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you forgive us whenever we've confessed our sins or brought anything before you. And that we can find healing behind any cover-ups that we've done. I can't wait, Lord God, to see what you're going to do this week in our home huddles, in our relationships. How are you going to get us to a deeper level of truly supporting and encouraging one another and being there for one another? Lord, keep that work in us, that your truth will set us free. God, I'm praying for those who might be living a cover-up right now, that they've been trying to act, you know, as if they know, oh, I've got my act together. Oh, no, I don't really need. I'm good. I'm fine. And Lord God, that they would just let themselves be loved by you and realize that they need you even more. And Lord, I also pray for those who are covering up, who know the truth that, man, they are desperate and they're struggling and they aren't quite sure. And Lord, they know, but they've believed maybe the lie, another lie that our adversary has told, that somehow they're just too far gone. Somehow, Lord, that they've believed that they can't be forgiven for that, whatever that is. That there's just no way anybody would ever accept them. That they can't really. Lord, let them know. There's nothing in all of creation, nothing that we've ever done that could separate us from your love, and that we can walk in your light. We can be exposed not only to your truth, but to the light of your love, Lord. And I pray for them as well right now, Lord, that we would be able to stop covering up and instead be immersed in your grace. So for anyone here today, Lord, I'm just asking us all to pray together. If anyone here today is saying, oh, Lord, you know I'm a liar. I've been covering up. I have been, Lord. And somehow or other, or I've been such a liar, I've been living this lie, and somehow I believe the lie that there's no way you can forgive me. I just ask anybody who's feeling any of those things right now just to raise their hand to your side, and I want you to pray with me and all of us to pray together for the truth of the gospel, the truth of God's word, the truth of God's love in Jesus Christ. So let's pray this. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, you are the truth. Set me free. I don't want to cover up or cover over the reality of who I am. Love me, forgive me, restore me, renew me. Let me live by the truth the truth of your death, the truth of your resurrection, that I can walk in the light. Thank you, Jesus, for not telling our lie, not letting our lies stand, but living for us, that we may live with you forever. Amen.